Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners of Markaz Sahawa, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We welcome you to this program, and it is our interview segment, and it is on a Jumu'ah. You know it is with Mufti Muhammad Akusab Damat Barakatuhu. The date today, remember, is the 21st of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1446. Let's welcome Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته مولانا زايد صاحب. How are you all doing?
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. How's Mufti Saab doing?
الله أكرم. الحمد لله.
We got a bit worried there. We thought Mufti Saab forgot about us.
Oh, no. الحمد لله. I think my phone wasn't ringing. I was waiting for your call, mashallah.
Okay. How's everything in Newcastle?
No, Allah shukar, man. Allah shukar. Allah give us tawfiq. We're traveling a bit here, Lodium side.
Okay, inshallah. One day we must plan it such when Mufti Saab is this side to do a program in studio, inshallah.
So inshallah, that will be nice to visit all day.
Because I'll say this, that it's the one of the challenges we face is speaking to the worlds. And but alhamdulillah.
But Allah accept you. You all are practicing your niyyah all the time, mashallah. What a great thing. Niyyah is so powerful. You're facing the world, but you're making the niyyah for the whole world. What a thing, man.
Inshallah, Allah accept. Mufti Saab, our topic for today.
We would like to discuss, you know what, a great event that happened here in our history is this liberation of Palestine, of Palestine, of Aqsa, and Salahuddin Rahimahullah's efforts. So I want to just revise that event, inshallah.
True. Most perfect, inshallah.
Allah Ta'ala put barakah in our time. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa sallallahu ala al-Nabi al-Ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. In the late 5th century, so 490-491 Hijri, it was a time where Pope Urban was planning to send the world of Christendom against the land of Sunnah, and they wanted Palestine. So they made up fabricated stories that Muslims are oppressing them and suppressing them when they come for their pilgrimage. But this was actually lies, because Muslims were always taught that those that are coming from the Christians, accommodate them, welcome them, they're coming for their pilgrimage. And this always happened from the time of Hazrat Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But they needed an excuse to justify their sinister moves and plans. And that's what they did. What was the shocking reality was that the group ruling Egypt at the time were called the Ubaidis. And they liked to be called the Fatimites, because they treacherously attributed themselves to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, but they don't come from that lineage. They come from a Jewish background. But that's how they're known as Ubaidis, and they falsely attribute themselves to Fatima radiallahu anha. So they wrote to them also, that you are welcome to come, as long as you'll take the land of Sunnah and not our lands. So we find that they worked together with them. And when they came to the lands of Sunnah and they massacred in so many regions of the Muslims, they would actually brutally murder women and children and so forth. You know, there's an amazing event in Sahaba in the Battle of Hunain, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was seeing the captives. He saw one woman who was killed. He got so angry and he verified, who did this? We are not allowed to kill and harm women and children. That is the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. Alhamdulillah. So what happened then was, when they came, the rulers of Egypt supported them. At that time, the Ubaidis. And they took over many of the lands of Sunnah. But then what they did was, they even took Palestine. And now, and what they did in Palestine was, they massacred and they killed and they unleashed, you know, brutality upon the Muslims, women, children, innocent people. And Allahu Akbar, the few that were spared ran away and went to Damascus. There was an alim teaching his dars there, Sheikh Abu Ishaq al-Harawi, rahimahullah, and he saw this plight. He rushed towards them and he said, what had happened? And they explained to him. He immediately then travels with them and goes to Baghdad, that was the capital at the time, the capital of the Muslim world, and tries to meet the Khalifa, who wasn't available at first, but he made a plan. During the khutbah, he stood up and spoke, and he drew the attention of people, and he explained the plight of what had happened in Palestine. Then the Khalifa called him, and then there was some effort to liberate. But it didn't happen at first, because each time the Muslims tried, there was always someone who would come and brutally murder the leader, the Muslim leader, the Muslim ruler who was leading the Muslims and who was making inroads and defending Sunnah from Batil. There was a person that would come and pretend to be a beggar and would end up assassinating this ruler. And this happened repeatedly. And can you imagine who were those who would come and assassinate our people? They were none other than the Shia. They couldn't bear the Sunnah winning and finding success and so forth. So this shows us how dirty were their tricks throughout the annals of history. And they always preferred Yahud and Nasara over Muslims. But then, alhamdulillah, thereafter came a man by the name of Imaduddin Zinghi, al-Shaheed, al-Qasim, Imaduddin, who was such a righteous man. And he always tried to liberate the lands of Islam, and at this time especially. And he strove very hard. One day he was in one expedition against one of the Salajika troops, and he was badly injured, and he was escaping with his men, and he passed an area called Takrit. So there was a man who rescued him and took him over the river and took him into his fortress, and he treated his wounds, and he entertained him and cared for him, showed him hospitality, mehman nawazi, for the next 15 days until he was ready to leave. And that man who was hospitable towards him was none other than Najmuddin. Anyway, in this, few months later or the next year, Najmuddin's area, Takrit, was under an attack because he was told to evacuate that region because the ruler, the Sultan, didn't want him there anymore. Because what had happened was his brother Shirgu killed a man because that man raped another innocent woman. And that man who was killed was a friend. He had a friend who was connected to that ruler, that actual owner of that region. That's why they instructed Asaduddin and his brother Najmuddin and Asaduddin to evacuate. At night, Asaduddin was leaving. He was told, you have to leave before dawn, before Fajr, otherwise we will attack you. And as he was planning and packing with his family, it was at that moment when his wife went into labor and the labor pains intensified. And now Najmuddin is under pressure. He doesn't know what to do. And it took some time. It was prolonged until his child was born. And he was worried. He didn't see the child much. And they traveled. But his brother asked him, why are you upset? He says, no, I was upset at the time. I was worried. I didn't think the child would live. I'm thinking in these circumstances, the child was born. His brother told him, don't worry. This child will be very, very special. And the mother of the child saw a dream that named him Yusuf. But where did Najmuddin go? He went to the lands of Imaduddin. And Imaduddin welcomed him, cared for him, took care of him and his family. And Najmuddin became a senior man under Imaduddin. And Asaduddin, his brother, became the commander of the army of Imaduddin. And like that, alhamdulillah, they together served his two families. This one was the Ayyubid family, Najmuddin Ayyubi, and the other was Imaduddin. As Imaduddin was liberating lands of Islam, he made great inroads. One day, whilst in his tent, there was a man who pretended for the last few months to be his servant, and he made his way up in the ranking to be close to Imaduddin, killed Imaduddin in his sleep. And when they verified the person, he was also from the same group called the assassins, meaning those who hate Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, Shia. What happened then was, after Imaduddin, his brother, Mahmud, his son, Mahmud Nuruddin, was chosen. And he then led this great effort in liberating Palestine. He ruled from Halab and then from Damascus, and how he took over all those regions, showing justice, making justice available to people. And he couldn't bear people be oppressed. Certain areas would allow crusaders coming from Palestine to barge into Muslim areas and charge the business people exorbitant rates of tax. When Nuruddin would hear about this, he used to come and he used to stop it. And he would not allow, and he would say to those governors, that if you do this, I will not allow you to rule these regions. I will help my brothers, because it is necessary for a Muslim to help his brothers. And like that, alhamdulillah, Nuruddin made his way. Where finally, now, there was a challenge in Egypt, because the Shia were ruling in Egypt. There was a man by the name of Shawar. Shawar was removed from his post as the minister. So he asked Nuruddin for help, promising to pay an exorbitant amount for the help of Nuruddin. So Nuruddin seized the opportunity, and he sent his commander, Asaduddin, and the commander's nephew, Asaduddin's nephew was Salahuddin. He sent them both with this army to help Shawar. When they helped Shawar and got him reinstated in his position, Shawar didn't pay them what was due. And he was treacherous. That Shia minister was treacherous with them. Anyway, and he told Nuruddin's men, Asaduddin and so forth, if you all don't leave, I will call the crusaders for you. Anyway, finally, they didn't leave and they were sieged. But then there was a truce, so Nuruddin's men returned. Afterwards, the same crusaders that Shawar called to help him against Nuruddin's men now turned against him and tried to take Egypt from him. And Adid was their ruler. Adid was the Shia ruler at the time from Egypt. He realized that Shawar is so treacherous, he's going to call Nuruddin for help. And he writes to Nuruddin. Nuruddin again sends Asaduddin and Salahuddin Yusuf. And subhanAllah, they come in and they liberate Egypt and protect Egypt from the onslaught and the attack of the crusaders that were coming from Palestine. And when this happened, the ruler of Egypt showed a lot of respect to Asaduddin. So much of respect he showed him that Shawar was now jealous. And Shawar now tried to poison Asaduddin Shirgu. He arranged a feast for him, and when he arranged the feast for him, he invited him, and somehow Shawar's son was a sincere Muslim. He told his father, how can you do this? These are good people liberating the land of Islam. Shawar refused. He says, no, I'll never accept it. I don't accept what you are saying. But what Shawar's son did was he went himself and notified Salahuddin that this is what my father is trying to do to your uncle. So his uncle Asaduddin did not attend that feast. And then Shawar then came to call him from his tent. And that's when Salahuddin put an end to the treachery of Shawar. But Adid was actually happy that his treacherous minister was now ended, and he instated Asaduddin as his minister. So Asaduddin, the man of Sunnah, is the minister of Egypt. This was a shock. And actually at that time, the minister had a lot of say. So now what happened was, for a few months, alhamdulillah, Asaduddin ran well. And when he passed away a few months later, due to illness, their ruler, basically at that time he was called their Khalif, Adid. The Khilafah of Sunnah was in Baghdad, the Abbasid Khalif, their ruler was here in Egypt. He then instates Salahuddin as his minister. And Salahuddin was trying to make inroads to liberate Palestine. So alhamdulillah, he became the minister. He was honest. He was a great man. But some people tried to put fitna by Nuruddin. Let's see, Salahuddin is trying to be greater than you. But Nuruddin understood the situation. He says, Salahuddin and I have an ambition. Our effort is towards Palestine. He got a post there. He understands that situation, he has to take it, because we need inroads to defend and protect Islam. Alhamdulillah, not long after that, Adid died. And even Egypt then, alhamdulillah, through the efforts of Salahuddin, came under the lands of Sunnah. Then, not long after that, Nuruddin passed away. And then when other people after Nuruddin started now to curry favor with the crusaders, then Salahuddin went to solve that issue. And when the crusaders started breaking their truces with Muslims, meaning they were harassing Muslims going for Hajj and Muslim traders and so forth, Salahuddin warned them that you are not complying to our peace treaty. But what some of those crusader rulers did was he would attack these Muslim businessmen and then terrorize them, and he would say to them, where is your Muhammad now? And that's why Salah al-Din got very upset at that. And in this month, Rabi'ul Thani, Allahu Akbar, Rabi'ul Akhir, was the famous expedition called Hittin. And that was quite a famous expedition where the Crusader armies unified against Salah al-Din's men. And alhamdulillah, Salah al-Din and the Muslims victored in that expedition. From there, they make their way to Palestine. When they siege Palestine, then after a period of time, they won. The Crusaders gave in, even though after they tried to fight. Salah al-Din made simple rules for them. You're welcome to leave, you pay 10 dirhams, and you can leave. 10 dinar. And those who wanted to stay also, he accommodated them. And as they were trying to go, many paid and got freed. Others couldn't pay. So Salah al-Din made arrangements for them. But the patriarch at the time, who was the main bishop of the church there, he was leaving Palestine with a huge box of gold. So Salah al-Din's men are telling him, why do you allow him to take this? Shouldn't he be using that money to liberate his fellow Christian brothers? So they said, he said to them, no, let them see for themselves how treacherous are their own people. And then Salah al-Din himself made arrangements for the Christians. He gave them money to pay the Muslim Baitul Mal, the treasury, and he got them freed. And like that, he forgave and he showed kindness and akhlaq. And when he liberated Palestine, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, so many Christians embraced Islam. Among them, there was one individual who rushed behind him and said, Sultan, Sultan. He said, what is it? How can I help you? He says, tell me, why did you react in this way? Why did you treat us so well? What prompted you? What urged you to do it? He said, you know, we are Muslims. He says, that means it's your deen that motivates such character. Because not even 100 years ago, my people massacred with brutality your women, your children. There was a bloodbath here. And how did you reciprocate with such character? He says, this is the beauty of Islam. Like the friend of Allah says, Malakna fakana al-adlu minna sajiyatan falamma malaktum sala bid-dami abtahu wa halaltumu qatla al-usara wa talama ghadawna ala al-asra namunnu wa nasfahu fahasbukumu hadha al-tafawut baynana wa kullu ina'in billadhi fihi yandahu. Subhanallah. And he says that when we rule, justice is our hallmark. Justice is our way. When you rule, the lands get filled with blood. Blood baths spread. This is the difference between us. You kill captives. We liberate them and show kindness to them. And why the difference? Is because every container will filter and give off what is contained in it. And that elderly Christian said, I want your deen. And he and his children all had embraced Islam. But then it didn't end there. But while Salah al-Din just liberated Palestine, the whole European world was now up in arms. They were upset. And they unleashed a huge army to take back Palestine. Inshallah, next time we're going to discuss what happened when they tried to take it back. And they almost succeeded in the next few months and the next few years, which was in the next crusade. They almost succeeded because Salah al-Din didn't have anyone around him to help him. Because his men were now finished and they were exhausted. And how Allah helped him, which would be our next discussion, inshallah. Also, very, very importantly, respected Ummah, let's stay away from haram. We need the help of Allah. Let's stay away from sin. Let's stay away from gunah. Let's stay away from promiscuity. Let's stay away. Allah save us. Zina, the certain things we are doing where somebody's husband is playing sport with someone else's wife. How can we accept such a thing? How can it be that there's certain competitions, Americano, and there's a whole list where somebody is, one couple is playing the sport with another person and they playing against another couple. How can it be? How do we have the guts? Are we so gutsy against Allah? Have we forgotten? Allah forgive us. A person is a Muslim. He has a wedding. His daughter is getting married. His son is getting married. Don't we have the consciousness of Allah? We want to put music there. How could we? Are we not conscious of Allah? That Allah is watching us and we just don't care? Don't we have any shame? Don't we know we're going to stand before Allah one day, respected Ummah? How can we accept this? Imagine we are openly defying Allah. One person is playing with another man's wife. Someone's wife is playing with another person's, and under the excuse of sport, don't we have shame? Allahu Akbar. Before there were certain sports not condoning it, but only male, for example. This is another level. This is unacceptable. Allah forgive us. What are we waiting for? This is why there's so much of barakat coming out of our life. Are we trying to draw the wrath of Allah? How can this be? How can this be justified? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Wa sallallahu ala nabi.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahib, you left us with a strong message there for us to ponder over. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us and forgive us, the Ummah, for all our shortcomings. Make dua for us as well. Mufti Sahib, which masjid is Mufti Sahib going to?
Masjid Salam, alhamdulillah. Okay. Inshallah. Make dua for us, Allah.
Inshallah. Allah accept. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It was Mufti Muhammad Aku Saab Damat Barakatuhu, mashallah, giving us the information that we need to know about Palestine, Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahmatullahi alayhi, and also the treasury of the Shias, and then how Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahmatullahi alayhi, he then mobilizes and gains back Masjid al-Aqsa and the land of Palestine, and that's what our gaze is on today. And going forward, inshallah, we should consider, it's our duty, responsibility to make dua that Masjid al-Aqsa gets liberated again. Palestine gets liberated again. This is the noble lands. Alladhi barakna hawlahu. Allah says, we have blessed its precincts. So in this manner, yes, they say, and Blinken and the rest, they are happy that they have, what they say, they've eliminated one of the key masters of the 7th of October. But remember, you kill one, there are many more, much more courageous, that are waiting also to give their lives. And this is it. You see where their lives end, our lives begin. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَا وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Do not say about those who are slain in Allah's path. You see, that's why they're keeping Sinwar's body. Because like they've done in the past, they've dug up Kabristans. Why? Because they know there's martyrs there. These martyrs are alive. They know it. And they are scared of these martyrs, even though those martyrs are not moving any limbs, but they are staring at them in the face. Because they are alive. Allah says then, you question that they are alive. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. You do not comprehend. You do not perceive. You cannot understand this. This is way beyond your perception. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant this ummah victory. We need to remain firm. We need to remain strong. And jihad will continue till the day of Qiyamah. Whether or not, whoever tries to say that Islam is only peace. Islam is peace, yes. But defending Islam too is also part of that peace. Because when you take the peace away from normal people who are just living in a kind and respectful manner, not hurting anyone, but they give you place to stay, and you are then not able to defend yourself, then you can't say that that's also just, you know, we must sit still. Islam is peace. We have to protect our peace. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.